Big one tonight, Thursday Night Football. The San Francisco 49ers taking on the Seattle Seahawks. And joining us now to talk a little bit about that game and really whatever else we decide to bust into, the one and only Hugh Millen, KJR's Hugh Millen. Hugh, my friend, always love these conversations. Appreciate you giving us some time, my friend.
Great to be with you, Brady. Yeah, it's interesting. This game a few weeks ago, it appeared like this was going to be an epic game and possibly for the NFC West title. But the Seahawks have kind of fallen off of their hot streak. They've lost three of four after winning four straight. And so San Francisco looks like they're taking that division, but they've got some quarterback problems, obviously. And so I think it has the potential to be a pretty good matchup.
Hugh, I think it's safe to say Seattle misses Russ now, right? I mean, that's where we are. They're crying over there now, wanting Russ to come back. You saw what he did last week. He's back, baby.
he could turn the corner. He could definitely turn. But, you know, the talk up here is people say, you know, the sports radio fodder, they say, would you trade Geno Smith for Russell straight up, even if the league could give you some hypothetical ability to play Russ at the same contract as Geno? And people, even in that scenario, that hypothetical, people say, nah, nothing.
They're just done.
It's never solved now. Yeah.
Hey, I want to get into this game with you too, Hugh, but, you know, obviously Seattle's going to have a pretty good draft pick. Is that going to be a quarterback?
Don't know. We'll see how this closes out. One of the things, when Geno Smith started off, people were saying, well, he's an MVP candidate. I said, let's just pump the brakes here. And I reminded people, in Mike Holmgren's first year in Seattle, that was 1999, he came in and John Kitna had been the quarterback the year before. And so now the Seahawks start, they go 8-2 to start that. And everybody's saying, oh, look, when you pair Kitna with Mike Holmgren, the quarterback whisperer, look what the results are. And John Kitna was the AFC Player of the Month for October. The Seahawks, that was the last year, I think, that they were in the AFC. And then they finished, I think they lost like six of their last seven games. They got blown out in a playoff game. And then all of a sudden, Kitna, well, everybody had been beating this drum, and a lot of us were saying, I don't know, Kitna looks to my eyes like a backup, and then it just kind of, the wheels all fell apart. So let's see how this season ends, how Geno is evaluated on the entirety of his season, and then see what the quarterbacks are. But it could be a quarterback. Right now, Seattle's so porous defensively, I think that defensive end for Alabama or the defensive tackle from Georgia might be the guys if you had to do it today. But obviously you're not drafting today, and we'll see how those quarterbacks look and how Geno finishes up.
Well, and some big games coming up for Seattle. And right now, looking at the playoff standings, this is a big game for Seattle. You know, obviously, as you said, trying to keep pace in the division, it might be tough at this stage, but to squeeze into the playoffs. So this is a huge one, looking at this Thursday Night Football. And I'm glad, because we haven't had a lot of great Thursday Night matchups, you know, whether the game wasn't great or even the excitement leading into it. But this one, the stakes are pretty high, especially for Seattle.
Yeah, no, the stakes are high, and I think that this is a bad time to be playing the 49ers because, you know, I can remember the Steel Curtain from Pittsburgh, right, and that great defense, and everybody said, well, the Steel Curtain, they kind of mirror that Pittsburgh mentality, right? Pittsburgh's a tough city, and you think of the tough cities in this country, you know, Detroit or Cleveland, those, they tend to be Buffalo, they tend to be the Rust Belt cities, right? Now, here's San Francisco, who, you know, far from that type of a reputation, and yet I think that they have earned their right to be called the most physical team in football for about the last 5 years. I mean, their receivers, they block like tight ends. Their tight ends block like linemen. They got the best fullback on the planet. Defensively, Greenlaw and Warner, the best linebacker tandems in the NFL. So, I mean, that's just a tough football team that belies the city from which they come. But the reason why it's a bad matchup for Seattle is that Seattle, Pete Carroll, what he ultimately wants to do is he wants to control the line of scrimmage like a lot of coaches, but I think him more so than others. Seattle is down to they've been down recently to their fifth string running back. Now, I think that you get Kenneth Walker back, and so now you're back to a little bit of a semblance of what they want to do. But when you look at the running game imbalances where they're giving up 230 yards and they're only rushing for 45 themselves, that is not how Pete Carroll wants to play football. But San Francisco with Brock Purdy, you know, obviously they have the ability to do that with how physical they are. So that's the concern from the Seattle perspective, is you're playing this immensely physical team, and right now you're not the defensive woes they've had, you're not really built to take on this challenge right now.
We're talking to Hugh Millen, KJR, Seattle sports leader in coverage and everything that you do, man. We love getting these opportunities to catch up with you. But the 49ers are just such an interesting team. You mentioned that defense. And then they bring in, you know, Christian McCaffrey. They're adding these weapons left and right where, at least for the time, you look at it and go, okay, a Brock Purdy could come in there and look pretty good, and it doesn't. You're not that stressed about it. But all that being said, he looked the part at least last week. We'll see if he can keep that going. But that's the luxury that San Francisco has, is they're good at everything else where the quarterback doesn't have to be perfect.
Well, of course they don't have Debo Samuel. Sure. Samuel, and you're exactly right. You mentioned Christian McCaffrey. In my years, you know, I'm going 50 years now watching ball. If you ask me who's the best wide receiver skill type guy out of the backfield, I think Marshall Faulk is the gold standard, right? Like every playbook you ever have seen in the NFL, running backs are going to, at some point, they're going to split out wide, and they're going to run one of two routes. They're going to run a hitch, which is like a 5 or 6 yard little stop route, or they're going to run a go. Then you say, well, what are the running backs that can do something else beyond that? Well, Marshall Faulk could run wide receiver routes. He's running skinny posts and in routes and all kind of stuff. So he's part of the actual tree. So Marshall Faulk, there was a guy named Gary Anderson who used to play in the USFL and then for the Chargers years and years ago. He was phenomenal out of the backfield. And then Christian McCaffrey. Those are the top three running backs I've ever seen as receivers. And, I mean, you could throw in maybe Roger Craig, you know, if you want to call it a Mount Rushmore, but he's that good out of the backfield. He's recruited as a wide receiver. I remember Rose Bowl game, very first play of the game against Wisconsin. First play of the game, they just run an option route with him. He goes into the middle, and he houses the thing 60 yards for a touchdown. First play of the Rose Bowl. And that, you know, that ability, as I mentioned him with those other running backs out of the backfield, I think he's the best, the single best I've ever seen at running option routes, where you come out of the backfield and generally they'll say, okay, you've got a two-way break. You can break inside or you can break outside. And sometimes it's a three-way break. You can go vertical up the seam or you can sit down. He has a feel for how to read coverages, because you got to read coverages. Like you say, okay, is the corner going to what's called cloud, where he has the zone in the flat? Well, that's going to be determined by the spacing with the middle linebacker. Where's the safety, depth, and alignment? Like, there's a lot of nuances to having a feel for running the option where essentially you have to think like a quarterback. And he is the best. So Brock Purdy, I broke down the coach's tape with him, and he was throwing with anticipation with Christian McCaffrey on those option routes. There was a time where they split him out. They hit him on a go route on a back shoulder fade up the sideline. So Purdy, despite the fact that he's just a rookie, he appears to be on that page with Christian McCaffrey. And in the manners I described, McCaffrey is at or near the best that's ever played in this league at some aspects of being a receiver out of the backfield.
Hugh, you played, of course, quarterback, had a long career in the NFL. And why is it sometimes that you see quarterbacks like Brock Purdy, and again, he's young, so we don't know what kind of guy he's going to ultimately be, but we do see that sometimes where a backup comes in, and for a game or two, it looks really easy for them. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes you see it. And then maybe the tape gets out and things get figured out a little bit. But we do tend to see that, where you get the fan bases going, man, it should have went with this guy the whole time. But then they always kind of come back down to life. Is that sometimes just because we get the film study out and teams start to really know what this guy's tendencies are?
Yeah, I think that it happens a lot. You know, backup, they can win a few games for you if you play three games. The late John Clayton, that used to have a phrase. He said, you know, that he had picked up from some general managers. I think I don't know if it was Bill Tobin or somebody had said, a backup quarterback, if you play three games, you know, he can get you three wins, a really good one. But if you play six games, he'll get you three wins, you know, and because they get the book on you. And that's absolutely true. Now, in the case of Purdy, in my film study of him, of course, he's just played, you know, parts of the majority of one game and then all of the second game. He does not look like a rookie. He played, I believe it was 45 starts at Iowa State. And, you know, he was a guy that, now he was Mr. Irrelevant, you know, not the biggest guy, you know, he's got small hands, not real tall, a good athlete, above average athlete, but not elite. And so there's some limitations there. You know, he's got a strong enough arm, but he does, you know, he's no Josh Allen from a velocity standpoint. So you kind of look at his physical toolbox and you see why he was a seventh rounder, but you throw on the tape. And the guy, as you said, you don't just scout a guy's physical skill set. Also scout a guy's mentality. This guy does not think of himself. He did not look in the mirror and see a rookie. It's like that poster where you see the little lion kitten, and he's looking at the reflection down at the ground in the puddle, and he sees a full-grown lion with a big mane. Like, that's Brock Purdy right now. He plays with confidence. He's got a little swagger. He's doing the pistol points. He's got really good feet in the pocket and good instincts in the pocket. As I said, 45 starts in college. And while he's not, I think he's quicker than he is fast. While Geno Smith, his counterpart tonight, is faster than he is quick. I think Purdy is quick in the pocket, has a good feel back there. And he's got Shanahan, who's, you know, as good as anybody at finding easy completions for him and what have you. But this kid has played beyond his years thus far. But both of those games were at home. And he hasn't had to deal with the pressures. And as we know, Lumen Field now in Seattle is as good a challenge as any place in the league. We'll see how he handles that tonight. But thus far, he showed poise beyond his years. I don't see a rookie when I watch that tape.
Yeah, it should be interesting tonight, talking to KJR's Hugh Millen. Hugh, some Russ stuff for you before we can't let you go without talking some Russ and your thoughts on the Broncos and everything. Sunday's game to me, and I'm probably being ridiculous here, but I saw a little bit of a spark, and I know the defense got some turnovers and set this offense up, but that's what I've been desperate to see for so long from Russ, from Hackett, from all of it. There's a part of my brain that's thinking, you know, if what we're hearing, and you've talked to us about this, that perhaps Russell Wilson is difficult to get along with, and you did see a spark with Nathaniel Hackett, is there a chance that you run this thing back knowing that those two have a decent relationship, and if all the other rumors are true that maybe Russ is a little difficult at times, aren't you better off sticking with this for a moment rather than trying to do it all over again with a new coach, and who knows how that's going to go?
If I was the owner of the Broncos and the season was over now, I would fire Nathaniel Hackett. I think I haven't seen enough. It's just been an abortion of a season. But, as you know, it's on a slight uptick. It's like the stock market when it's crashing, and then you have, you know, like one good Thursday, and you're like, well, hey, are we turning the corner? So there's still a few games to see whether or not they can keep this initial trend going. It is possible that, again, if you're asking me my opinion about what will happen or should happen, if they can close this out with some positivity, then I think Hackett can save his job. And you know, I don't know the makeup of what the ownership, you know, and their inclination, how much they crave stability, and maybe they want to keep moving. So I'm just maybe talking out of hand on that regard. But, you know, Russell still, there's a reason why he has done everything that he's done. And, you know, he still should be a young enough man that he can still continue to do it. And so it, maybe it's just a process of getting acclimated to the system and finding, you know, figuring out what Russell likes, Russell being able to communicate effectively what he wants and what have you. So it was a good sign to see what they're doing. But as of right now, I think this is a critical juncture for the Broncos and for Hackett to see these next few weeks to see if they can continue on what happened Sunday. I think the future is very much in doubt. It's not in doubt for Russell Wilson. One of the things they could have done is played him this year and waited on the contract. They didn't do that. So Russell's not going anywhere. The question is Hackett, and we'll see over the next few weeks.
Yeah, and if you do bring in a new head coach, I mean, that first you sit down with him, and maybe the first question is not, you know, what's your philosophy offensively, defensively, what are you going to do? It's going to be, hey, can you get along with Russell Wilson? I mean, that's the guy you're stuck with no matter what. So whoever the next coach is has to be able to work alongside Russell Wilson.
Well, he has to be coached hard. You know, I do a show with Mike Holmgren. He has told the story a few times where when he got hired by the 49ers with Bill Walsh, I believe it was 1986. Joe Montana had already won the Super Bowl in 1981. He won the Super Bowl in 84. He was a international superstar, at least in the respect of the NFL, right? And here, Holmgren had been a high school history teacher in the Bay Area and coaching high school football. He was only a few years at BYU. I think he was only maybe 3 or 4 years at BYU. Now all of a sudden he's the quarterback coach for Joe Montana. When Holmgren first met him, Montana walks in and he goes, Mike, I want you to coach me hard. Montana had enough sense to know that it might be awkward for Holmgren. Like, hey, how do I handle this thing, right? But Holmgren took that recommendation and demanded the most out of him. Russell Wilson needs to adopt that mentality. He needs to humble himself, in my opinion. And that's an opinion that has been acquired over years and years, talking to people in the building, talking to people that are very high placed. I could tell you their names, and I know who that is. Like, talking to people, watching training camps, studying the game tape of every play he ever did as a Seahawk. That's my summary. He needs to be coach hard. He needs to be willing to be coach hard. For example, let's just give an example. If there's a concept where you've got a hitch outside, we talked about the hitch route, and the corner's off, just grab the ball and throw the damn hitch and take 7 or 8 yards. Don't start scrambling around looking for something else. Like remember when you're in college and you're at a party. And the music's going great. You know, they got the keg is cold. You know, the girls are hot. Like, why leave that party? Like, why walk down the street and find it? Why leave a good party to chase another party? Well, Russell Wilson, when he's quarterbacking, you're like, dude, that guy's open. You've got protection. He's your first read. Grab the ball and throw it to him. Don't leave that party to go chase a good party. And so he's got to be coached that way. And he's got it's kind of like an alpha dog, beta dog. Like, it's a stare down in the wild. Like, who's got, like, at some point, a coach has got, they got to, if they do indeed make a choice, they've got to bring in a coach who's got the huevos, you know, to say, no, you're going to do it my way. And that's what Holmgren did with Brett Favre, right? Because Brett Favre was a loose cannon too, right? And hard to corral. And so they've got to get somebody who will not blink when he coaches Russell Wilson and not think, oh, wait a minute, this guy's got a $250 million contract. He's more stable in the organization than me. They got to get a guy who has enough chutzpah that he doesn't even think about that. He's like, no, you're doing it my way. And that's where I think you're going to get the best out of Russell.
And based on that, you know, I don't know that Hackett I don't know that Hackett can be that guy. Hugh, always appreciate you, my man. Love when we can do this. The more often we can do this, man, we absolutely love it. I know our listeners are crazy about it, so we appreciate you, man.
Hey, always great to be with you. Go Broncos, and we'll be talking soon.
All right, my man. There he is, Hugh Millen, KJR. He does a show with Mike Holmgren, and that's good stuff. That's powerful stuff from him. I could listen to that all the time. So it sounds like what Hugh's saying, too, is like, Russ is not, like, I've been complaining, like, why don't they just have routes coming across the middle and easy routes? Maybe they are, and Russ isn't taking the easy route. He's looking, I'm not going with that. I'm going to look here, and by the time that's covered up, now we're in trouble. That's an interesting thought. 12:41 the time. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.